This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Kicking off the second hour of the show. You can join us and dial in at 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Joining you tonight, it's Ian,
Aria,
and Mark.
And Mark joining us from a remote location in Morazan City down in Honduras. Of course, you're free to call in and talk about anything you want. We've started out by discussing the latest in artificial intelligence. No, it's not some new development. It's a very bad potential development, and that is to the proposal of government regulation. And the proposal by the artificial intelligence biggies, big AI, if we want to call them that, people like OpenAI, Microsoft, Google, these are the kinds of people who are going to be, quote-unquote, working with the government to ensure that AI is safe.
I mean, it's big tech, right? I mean, that's ultimately what it's big tech doing, exactly what big tech always does. And, like, even the leftists out there should be able to agree with us on this subject, that this is a terrible idea. However bad you think Google and Microsoft and, you know, these companies are, look, we libertarians agree with you. Those companies are the evil. They are the epitome of evil. But them working directly with the government is not going to make anything better.
Oh, that's even worse. And I do wonder about that, because a lot of times when you talk about programming, the people that are in that world, at least from the conversations I've had with Chris, who's our Friday night co-host, he's a programmer. He knows, you know, coding and all that. He's gone to conferences with those kinds of people. He says they're usually split between the libertarian and the liberal types. Like, that there are very few conservative people that are in programs.
That's because they're under a 40, right? And I mean, let's be honest here. We've all seen this.
Maybe.
The conservative crowd tends to be over 40. Not all, universally so.
Some programmers have been around longer than, you know, 40 years or whatever.
True.
But I agree with you, Aria, but I think the reason is sort of bad marketing on the part of conservatives. So many people will call themselves liberal voters or Democrat voters simply because the conservatives hate their gay friends. And, you know, I don't want to be part of a political party that hates my friends. It's just that I know that all the political parties hate my friends.
Yeah.
I mean, that's very much true. But, I mean, that's a pervasive issue. That's why the young people tend to go toward liberalism or, you know, libertarianism.
Yeah, it's a huge, breathtaking mistake by Republicans, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, they have
an enormous... allying themselves with the religious right on this. It's like, oh, we care deeply what you're doing at home by yourself, not bothering anybody. We care. And if you just leave that one issue alone...
It's not that one issue, though. And I think that's an oversimplification of it. The Republicans
What's the other issues?
Well, they have a pervasive immigration. They have a widespread perception that they're racists, that they're ableists. I mean, just about every sort of ISC that you can put after with it is what liberals and libertarians perceive Republicans as being guilty of.
I don't know what an ableist is, and I don't care about it.
It's someone who discriminates against the disabled.
Uh-huh. Look, if they can't do the job, they can't do the job. It's not discrimination.
It's about how society itself is sorted. Have you ever thought about what it's like to be like a disabled person in a wheelchair on an airplane, for example?
Yes, but I don't owe anybody.
I love how you answered before I even finished the question, by the way. Awesome touch.
Yes, I've thought about what it's like to be disabled. I thought about it a lot, and I'm grateful I'm not.
Right, but... Okay, that in and of itself, that's an immaterial point, right? The question was whether or not you thought about what it's like to be a disabled person on an airplane in particular, because that's like the least handicapped accessible way to travel, and yet handicapped people have to travel just as much as the non-handicapped, and that's what ableism is really about. It's not discrimination against the disabled people. It's that society as a whole doesn't really take any steps to consider the disabled, and that's really neither here nor there.
You really think that's something that Republicans are bad on? I mean,
no, not society itself is.
Okay, I mean, I've seen...
And,
I've seen disabled people get on airplanes before.
Right. I'm not saying it's impossible. I see it every single time,
and they go first.
I'm not saying it's impossible.
I guess I'm missing your point on this.
I'm just saying society is ableist, right? It's bent toward people who...
You're just saying that you hate Republicans and all their stuff, and what I'm saying is that they
turn on this one issue. I said ableist when I meant racist and sexist.
Bedrooms, then that would be the thing that would turn.
Okay, because they also have a widespread perception of being sexist and racist.
Would vote Republican if they would simply... stay out of this particular issue.
Mark, that's fun. That's silly. Mexicans aren't refusing to vote for Republicans because they're homophobic. You know that's not true. Hispanic culture is widespread homophobic itself.
All right, they're refusing to vote for Republicans because it appears that Republicans hate immigrants. That's why they refuse to vote for them. But you're right, though.
I did misspoke. No one's alleging that Republicans in and of themselves are ableist any more so than anyone else. I'm not saying society is ableist. I was making the point that that's what liberals argue.
Well, I found myself in an unenviable position
of having to defend that, and I don't necessarily agree with it.
The reason when I try to make a point for somebody else, and it just doesn't work.
The reason I even brought up liberals and libertarians as programmers was because I did find myself curious as to, do liberal programmers support freedom of speech when it comes to their own programming? Obviously, they may not support, you know, quote unquote, hate speech in these other areas over here. They may have their issues with free speech in general. But are they calling for regulations? Or is it the liberal programmers who are saying, yes, we need government to regulate AI? Or is it just the big corporate guys that are doing it? I just find myself curious about that. If you want to weigh in, the number here is 603-283-6160.
Wasn't it the liberal programmers at Google that were like, hey, you're cooperating with China, and we're not going to continue allowing that to happen?
Who's
I don't remember now, because that
China?
Was like 4 or 5 years ago. Google was. Yeah, they were creating a China-specific version of their search engine.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right.
And the programmers at Google, who I believe... Where the liberal ones were like, hey, we're not contributing to this. We're not going to take part in this. But I don't know.
Yeah, that's been four or five years now.
Yeah,
good question. Let's go to the phones here. We've got open phones, as always, here on Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything you want. Jimmy is on the line in Utah. Jimmy, you're on Free Talk Live.
People. Hey, guys. I was just wondering what happened to QAnonymous. It used to be in the news, and then it seemed the chatbot seemed to take over the media, the news.
QAnon, right. This Trump-era online... whatever you want to call this thing, social media site that engendered a bunch of crazy followers and even its own kind of religious fervor. It disappeared when Trump lost the election.
Yeah, when you repeatedly make predictions that don't come true and you repeatedly say just completely crazy things that aren't synchronized with reality, eventually people are going to go, wow, this person's nuts, and they're going to stop paying attention to them.
And he just hung up the phone. This, as I recall, QAnon disappeared from the scene once Trump lost the election. I remember we did a follow-up at some point about it.
Didn't QAnon say there's going to be some major thing happening, you know, in March or April of next year or whatever, and then nothing actually happened? Or Trump's going to execute some military coup and become the real president?
Yeah, probably.
Well, I think that the QAnon thing was that Trump is still president.
Oh, yeah,
now,
that's right.
And that what doesn't make sense is then he couldn't run again when he's running. So I don't know. I mean, it's obvious ramblings.
Why is Donald Trump turned red? I mean, who is doing his makeup? Why are they doing this? Yes.
Well, I didn't know.
So, someone is doing his makeup like this on purpose.
Well, I mean, it is the red party, right? Like, you know, Republicans red.
But why was he orange before that? Like, I thought that it was just his pigmentation at first, right? Until I started looking, I pointed out to people that it's kind of racist to make fun of Donald Trump for being orange. And they were like, no, actually, if you look, it's just makeup. And I looked, and sure enough, yeah, so they're making him up to be orange. And now it's a redder color. And, like, I don't understand why.
Well, it's probably spray on tan at one point. He decided he had a color that he likes. He goes in and says that color, whatever that is, and that's what they so that's the color pancake they slap on him.
Give me MAGA orange.
All right, so I want to come back to the QAnon question, though, because it is an interesting question. What happened to QAnon? If you go by the now bankrupt Vice.com, I don't know if you heard they filed for bankruptcy this week, but according to some of their reports, which were made this year, one as recently as May 11th, the QAnon people are still out there. They are still fighting with each other. Whether the official, quote-unquote, QAnon account exists, I don't know. I think those have been taken down and they've never come back.
Wasn't there strong reason to believe that it was, like, the owner of 8chan or whatever?
There was some theory about that, yeah, at one point.
I don't remember, because it's also murky and it's irrelevant anyway.
I think you're right to some extent, Arya. But there's something you have to keep in mind. So you're right that the more someone is wrong about making predictions, the more of their followers are going to start questioning. That's true. But you also have to remember, a cult has a very firm grasp on its follower members, or whatever you want to call them, cultists, and they always have some excuse, right? There's always some sort of official reason why, you know, God didn't strike down the planet with a meteor as the cult leader had been predicting. And they just have to say, well, God contacted me, and he said that the people were good enough that he was going to put off the meteor for another 5 years or whatever, right? Like, there's always the guru, whoever's in charge of the cult, always has some sort of excuse, and that manages to retain some percentage. Some are going to break away, but it's going to retain the hardcore. It's going to retain
Why
the people.
Why do they do this, though, right? Like, if you're a cult leader, and granted, I don't have the mindset of a cult leader, so I don't understand what it would be like, but why would you even make a prediction that could be false? Instead of like, God has told me that he's destroying the world in 2100. You'll be dead
hubris.
By then, right?
Fear. They want people.
Hubris.
Well, it's hubris, but also if your cultists are afraid, then they might be more willing to do the things that you say they should do.
So do you think they genuinely believe, Mark, that they are the prophets of God or whatever, and that when they say it's going to end in 2024, that they're going to actually manifest that?
I've made lots of predictions on the air here on Free Talk Live, and I've learned from that, which is that often I'm wrong. Even if I really feel strongly at that moment, and it's that strong feeling that I'm naming at this moment, that strong feeling is hubris. The belief that you're right in that way, like, you know, you haven't had enough experience with life and being wrong if you're going to just make willy-nilly predictions about the future.
Fair enough.
So headlines from Vice regarding QAnon. The most recent one here. QAnon conspiracist Mike Flynn is suing another conspiracist who claims he invented QAnon. In another recent story, Tucker Carlson is out at Fox News and QAnon is taking it just fine. Now, what is QAnon? Well, QAnon used to be a social media account, as I understood it, that made predictions about what was supposedly happening behind the scenes and would inevitably become visible, which, of course, as you pointed out, many of these things didn't come true. But they don't. When they say QAnon, they're referring to the movement, the religion, the followers of QAnon. And, of course, there have been people that have built their names by being sort of conveyors of the QAnon beliefs. So here they're referring to, in the story about Tucker Carlson, a quote-unquote QAnon influencer, calling himself QAnon John, who runs a series of QAnon-focused conferences. So
I bet that's fun.
Yeah, so there's still, like, characters out there who are adorning themselves with the sort of
buffalo heads
of QAnon, right? So this does still exist, I guess.
Like a true religion,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, Christ may be dead, but that hasn't stopped Paul.
Well, their Christ is Donald Trump, and he is still alive.
Well, I was thinking of their Christ as being QAnon, and I guess in this scenario, Trump would be Yahweh, I guess?
Well, yeah, I mean,
regardless, right.
QAnon was just the it was just a mechanism.
It was the prophet of God.
Right? Yeah, right. It was this mechanism for somebody to promote Donald Trump as the end of the deep state, right? The end to the corruption in Washington. Mythological belief.
Think about how easy this would be to just go to 8chan, create an anonymous account, and then spew this nonsense.
Mm, that's what they did.
All you need is like 50 Republicans to believe you and to get them to spread it. And then next thing you know, you're R-Anon or S-Anon or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It would be super easy for anyone who knew enough about the inside track. And you don't even have
right.
to be particularly
And that was the theory, was that it was a supposed insider.
But you just be knowledgeable enough about how the federal government works. And you're going to, if you can name the three branches of government, you can.
You got an edge on most people.
Yeah, and you can create some narrative that's going to convince the vast majority of Americans that you know some inside secret that no one else knows.
If you're following any of this QAnon stuff, feel free to weigh in here. Let's talk to Stephen. He's in Northwest Georgia. You're on Free Talk Live.
So, let's talk about this whole regulating AI.
Okay.
So, first of all, we're all libertarians here. We're all anarchists here.
I prefer voluntarists, but okay.
Yeah, I know anarchists.
Yeah, Mark's not an anarchist.
We're all something of the not red-blue category, right?
Okay.
And because of that, we're able to look at government in a different lens and all this stuff, right?
Yeah, sure.
So I'm not worried about anything the government wants to regulate because of weed, right? I have consumed more cannabis in jail per day
wow.
than I have out of jail. They can't stop this.
I understand right? where you're coming from, but face the reality that since the legalization of marijuana, the quality of marijuana has grown exponentially. The knowledge that we have now about mm-hmm. marijuana and the little crystals, what are they called?
Trichomes.
Yeah, no one even knew about those, mm-hmm. you know, 15
well,
to 20 years
knew,
ago.
Knew, but it's really the Internet.
Maybe some researchers
I think you're
did.
Giving too much credit to legalization, Arya. It's really the Internet that has brought the knowledge.
I think people being able to research it more widespread...
Well, that doesn't
helped.
Help. I mean, that doesn't hurt
and
to have people
being
able to
cultivate strains and all of that stuff.
Yeah, I'm not going to say that it didn't help. Certainly, decriminalization and/or medical, which of course is what came first. It was medical in California in the 1990s. Definitely moved the ball forward on that. That's true. And the amount of decrim and legalization we've had has driven prices down as well. But your point here, Stephen, is that prohibition doesn't work at all, and in fact, they can't even keep drugs out of... And you said jail? You're not talking about prison? Jail?
Jail.
Wow. How does it come into jail? Is it, you know, in somebody's...
Nether regions? I don't want to think about that.
I've been arrested a few times, and I've only been searched one of those, and that was when I made the officers aware that I was trans because I was in Mississippi, mm-hmm. and it was a mess. I don't even want to tell that story right now. But anyway, never was everyone that I talked to who had gone to jail in this particular jail had never even been searched before entering. I mean, they may have been patted down for
okay.
weapons, but not like searched for drugs or anything like that. So
that's crazy. Here's the jail; you got to bend over and cough to get in.
Which, I'm not a fan of that, but I could at least understand it. Like, in this jail in Tate County, Mississippi, you could mm-hmm. smuggle anything you wanted in it.
Wow. Yeah, it's like maximum security up here.
Jesus.
Like, you got to bend over and cough to get in.
Now, well, you say it's like to get in. Does that mean that if I refuse to bend over and cough, I don't have to go?
I think you're going to get...
Sorry.
They're going to do something to you if you refuse. I don't know what it's going to be, but you probably aren't going to like it. I'm going to guess it's solitary.
Dude, that is straight up sexual assault, man. Right?
Oh, no. They don't do a cavity search on you. So technically, it's not sexual assault.
I don't know if I would want to fight that technicality, you know? Like, to me, that's strip naked and do a strip tease for me, or I'm going to punish you. I don't know, man. That just feels to me like sexual assault.
So, Stephen, your point here, though, is that if they can't keep marijuana out of the jails and the prisons, they're sure as hell not going to keep programmers from making illegal artificial intelligence.
Not exactly.
Okay, so, what is your point, then?
My point is, they will never be able to regulate this. An example is weed, right? But the reason they'll never be able to regulate this falls into two things. One, it's fun, right? I don't care what anybody tells you about guns. The reason that they'll never take the guns is there's more guns being used as toys than they are for hunting or the protection of the Second Amendment or any other reason. More guns are used as toys than anything else.
What do you mean by
That's
toys?
That's the number one reason.
What do you mean?
Put holes in paper.
Never be fully regulated.
What do you mean by toys?
Like, they go to the range and they shoot them, and they really don't know what they're doing with them. And you know, if somebody broke in their house, they don't have the wherewithal to actually use the thing, and they probably don't have the tactics to move around their house. Like,
that's the point of going to the range, though.
Yeah, you go to the range so you can practice with the gun, and so you're better at using it. I wouldn't describe a gun as a toy in any circumstance.
It also occurred to me that there's a major reason why weed doesn't hold up here, and that's because you can grow pot in your backyard. You cannot, almost no one can code an artificial intelligence on their home computer.
Well, there's some at some point you probably will be able to do that. You can run artificial intelligence.
Maybe
on your
because
own computer.
Someone like Facebook has already one of these big tech companies has already made one. But you don't need one of these large pot companies to grow your own pot. You can just,
that's true.
You can just buy some seeds and grow some in your backyard. But when it comes to artificial intelligence, unless you're a genius level programmer, you're going to need Facebook or Google or one of these big tech companies to provide you with the seed from which you can grow your artificial intelligence.
Okay, so let's go back to weed for a second. 25 years ago, let's say 30 years ago, 1993, how many people knew how to cultivate marijuana compared to now?
It was just a plant, right? Probably more.
You let this thing age out 30 years, the ability to use it will be just like texting, right? It'll be something everybody knows how to do.
No, I think the opposite is true. I think more people knew how to cultivate pot 30 years ago than they do today because most people don't need to cultivate pot today. They can just go down to the dispensary and buy some.
I don't know. That's a tough call because there's certainly a lot more people who are overtly employed in the industry of generating, legal weed. There's a lot of people that are in those businesses now that maybe didn't work when it was, or maybe they weren't working in that field when it was illegal. Some of them probably, but...
This sounds like one of those, hey, if you want somebody to fix your computer, just turn it over to your 14-year-old arguments. And I would contend there's no way that, I've got a 14-year-old, and I know quite a few 14-year-olds as a result, and none of them are more qualified on a computer than I am. And you two, right? I got to see the look on your face when you did it, and it's exactly the look I was looking for. I know more about computers than these dullard kids do because all they know how to do is play video games and mess with social media.
Yeah, I think that it's a shocking thing for you to say that, Mark, because you need your hand held when it comes to computers. But thank you, Stephen, for the call tonight. I appreciate it. I think you're right. The younger generations, despite the fact that they are raised with devices in their hands, from day zero at this point. Of course, our Thursday night co-host, Jay Noon, says it's a really bad plan for parents to do that. But the fact of the matter is parents are doing that all over the place. So young people, many of them have had some sort of electronic device access for their entire lives. And despite that, they do not understand how they work. They don't know the basics of how to fix a problem with, Wi-Fi or something like that. Get into their router and, set it up or whatever. Like they're like your grandma with the VCR in the 1980s and the 1990s. They're literally that crippled. They can get on an app store and download an app and they can play the latest, video games or whatever, but that's about it. Have you seen this, Aria?
I work with a lot of younger people who are like 21, 22 years old, and they know that I have a hacked Wii U and I was telling them about playing modded versions of Breath of the Wild, and they were like, well, step us through this. Tell us how you did this. I was like, okay, what you have to do is really simple, right? All you have to do is install this and go into this and turn that on and then download the mod and put in this folder. They're like, what? That's not simple
too
at all.
Much.
Like, it took me 3 minutes,
too
man.
Many steps.
It could not possibly be simple.
All you had to do is follow a series of steps, right?
Right.
Somebody wrote out on the internet.
But they
can't do it.
No, they can't.
Is it an attention issue? There's more coming up here. The number is 603-283-6160 if you want to weigh in.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Thank you. USA News update. Still no deal after another meeting at the White House to discuss raising the debt ceiling. After that meeting, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy said time is running out.
We only have 15 days really to go. We've got to find a way that we can curve our spending, raise our debt limit, and also grow our economy.
He does believe a compromise can be reached by Friday. President Biden is cutting short an overseas trip to deal with the debt crisis. An intruder entered National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan's home in late April. The unidentified person was able to get into the home undetected by Sullivan's security detail. Sullivan told the man, who appeared to be drunk, to leave, and he did. Now's a bad time to buy a house. At least that's what a majority of Americans think. A new Gallup poll found that more than three-quarters of Americans think now is not a good time to purchase a house. Only 21% of respondents felt the time was right. John Schaefer, USA News.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American Funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. You can join the show here and bring up whatever you want. The number is 603-283-6160, or you can comment on stuff we've already been talking about, like artificial intelligence and what's coming next? Well, possible government regulation. Although, as Aria, I think, correctly pointed out, before the government finally gets around to passing something, the AI will already have taken huge leaps forward, maybe even to the point of getting to what some are calling artificial general intelligence, which is somehow different from AI, and we'll talk a little bit about that.
And this doesn't have to be scary, people. I mean, this could be a beautiful, wondrous thing. Just think about whatever it is that you enjoy and being able to tell an artificial intelligence, instead of going to Netflix, telling it, hey, I want to watch a brand new episode of Star Trek The Next Generation that is about the Borg.
And some show that has never existed.
And here's this brand new episode that it spontaneously generates. And then you're like, all right, that was pretty good. But now I want to watch, give me an alternate ending to whatever. What was that show that was on HBO that people loved?
The stupid one.
Black Mirror?
No, the George R.R. Martin one.
Oh, the Game of Thrones.
That's it. Give me an alternate ending to Game of Thrones that doesn't make me angry or whatever.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that could be coming, and it could be sooner than you think. They already have what they call text to video now. So that's the new thing. I haven't played around with it yet. I'm not sure if there's like a tool that I could use on my computer.
Is this how they did the Fresh Prince
yeah,
eating spaghetti
thing? The Fresh Prince eating spaghetti. If you've seen that one online, it's pretty ridiculous looking.
It's not good.
No, it's terrible. It was definitely like the first thing that I'd ever seen come out. They're better now, but not much better.
But a year from now, they'll be flawless.
They'll be amazing. So we can talk about some of the tech as well, but they're talking about regulations, and there's more to say about that here. The number 603-283-6160. I want to say thanks to Alex Genop, who is a silver supporter of our AMPS program. AMPS stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support. It's a way for you to get behind what we do here, as Alex has done, for $5 a month. That's all we ask for. You can join us over at amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. That takes you to our Patreon, and you can get signed up with your credit card, your debit card, your PayPal account. Now, if you don't like Patreon, and there's a lot of reasons not to, because, you know, they're one of these big tech companies, right? If you want to have an alternative to that, well, we have a second way for you to directly support us, and that is through our Odyssey channel, where you can find us over at video.freetalklive.com. Just click the join link up there at the top, and you can contribute with your debit card or credit card to Free Talk Live that way as well. So thank you to everybody that is backing us up here on Free Talk Live. Now, in a news story that I've actually been holding on to here regarding AI regulation, we did just talk in the first hour of the show about Sam Altman, who is the CEO of so-called OpenAI. That is not open in any way, shape, or form. They're a big tech company. They're backed by Microsoft. And they're calling for government regulations. Well, they're not the only ones. Of course, the government itself, the government thugs themselves, have been calling for this. The Commerce Department, according to a report from the Wall Street Journal last month, has put forward a public request for comment on what it is calling accountability measures, including whether potentially risky new AI models should go through a certification process before they are released.
Who's doing this?
This is the Commerce Department, a federal government goon agency.
I mean, there's just so many.
Yeah.
And then I wonder which portion of the is the Commerce Clause that gives them the right to exist?
I have no idea. Perhaps so. There's plenty of things that shouldn't exist in the federal government, even by their own rules. But there they are. So the Chinese top internet regulator last month also proposed strict controls that would, if adopted, obligate Chinese AI companies to ensure their services don't generate content that could disrupt social order or subvert state power. European Union officials are considering a new law known as the AI Act that would ban certain AI services and impose legal restrictions onto others. The National Telecommunications and Information Administration, a Commerce Department agency that put out the request for comment, Alan Davidson there says, it's amazing to see what these tools can do, even in their relative infancy. We know that we need to put some guardrails in place to make sure they're being used responsibly, he said.
I mean, these are the same people. I mean, they have governments, again, some of the most irresponsible people in human history. And I just can't try. It's silly to me. The whole concept is silly to think that they're going to be responsible with artificial intelligence. The first thing one of these governments would use it for is either controlling the population or waging war.
Yep.
Oh, you mean they already have? Like, this is already in play. The
Probably.
Reason they're talking about this is they want to be able to stop the private actors and the other foreign malicious actors, and I'm not arguing that at all, from doing what they are currently doing. They are using AI to control the population and secure their power. And they don't want somebody to use AI to break that control in the population and to shake their power.
Yep, that pretty much sums it up here. Industry and government officials have expressed concern about a range of potential AI harms, including the use of the technology to commit crimes or spread falsehoods. So let me give you an example of what AI might be used for to commit a crime. One of the concerns that has been brought up with regards to the large language models like ChatGPT is that someone could use a malicious actor could use ChatGPT or something like it, you know, some open source alternative, to cook up a phishing email. something okay. that could be persuasively written. It wouldn't have spelling errors. Because remember, like, if you've seen these emails come into your inbox, if they haven't been filtered automatically to spam, as many of them are, sometimes they'll pop past the spam filter.
I received one recently that was like an invoice for a McAfee antivirus. I responded back, oh, no, my McGoo. And I didn't get a response from them.
But a lot of them have spelling errors because they're written by people in other countries whose native language isn't English. They're just, you know, they're trying to scam people out of money, and they're doing the best they can, but they make mistakes. ChatGPT, not as likely to make mistakes with spelling. Like, basic things like that, it's pretty good at. It will make some, you know, like, if you ask ChatGPT to do something, it may get the details wrong sometimes, but it's going to spell the sentences correctly. So that's one example of a way that some people have talked about that, you know, these GPT technologies could be used for criminal activity.
Well, then just be more skeptical of any emails, yep. any communications that you receive that you don't know the person who sent them. I mean, that's common sense. I mean, that's internet using 101.
It is. It is. And more people really need to know internet using 101, even though we're here in 2023. People are going to need to be more careful than ever. They're going to need to be more skeptical than ever. And that, of course, also includes what we've learned about as deepfakes, right? That's the yep. other aspect where people are worried that somebody's going to put their face on another person or fake their voice, which is easy to do now. It has gotten to the point where faking somebody's voice is a simple matter. That's easy. Doing the video of their face, it's not quite there yet, but it's getting there.
And it'll be there sooner than yeah. we can speculate.
Yeah.
And then just like that, you won't even be able to trust a video that someone sends you about how they need money because the IRS is targeting them or whatever.
It's going to be an interesting presidential election, that's for sure, because deepfakes are going to be in play this time.
You'll have actual video of Joe Biden molesting kids or Donald Trump dealing with Russian hookers?
Yes, very well could be real. You know, whether they will go that far or not, I don't know. It's certainly...
Oh, well, I think they will now. I think that they're working on it as we speak at this moment.
The ones that are more subtle are going to be the ones that pass scrutiny, though, right? Where Donald Trump or Joe Biden or whoever it is just simply saying something a little more unusual than they would normally say.
How would we know?
That's the thing. That's why
Joe Biden rambled on about how yeah. Corn Pop was a bad dude and... There's videos at joebiden.info of him sniffing little girls' hair and stuff.
That are purportedly real.
How yeah. much weirder could it get?
Yeah. We're going to find out.
scary.
You know, can government, this slow, stupid, expensive, incompetent organization, does anyone really believe they are going to somehow put quote-unquote guardrails up for this industry? That the industry itself couldn't do on its own. Well, Microsoft said that it supports the administration's move to put AI development under scrutiny. In a statement, they said, quote, "We should all welcome this type of public policy step to invite feedback broadly, consider the issues thoughtfully, and move expeditiously."
This reminds me of when Coinbase thought that the SEC was asking them for advice on how crypto should be regulated, so they put a huge team of lawyer types to work on it, whipped up something for the SEC, and the SEC shoved it down their throat.
Yep, SEC is suing Coinbase, although the suit hasn't actually been filed.
Coinbase is also suing the SEC.
They countersued?
Yeah.
Ah, okay.
And it makes me really sad that, like, the current hopes of the cryptocurrency community are kind of like...
The riding on Coinbase.
Yeah.
Riding on Coinbase, yeah.
And, like, that sucks, man. Now, it didn't have to be this way if the crypto community had gotten behind, you know, Library or the Crypto 6 or any of these other... Or even FTX. But no, it's the devil that we have out there fighting for us.
Well, the fact is the crypto community isn't libertarian like it once was. It is full of crypto bros or whatever, full of these people who are just looking for number go up, and they don't care about freedom, and they don't care about, you know, peer-to-peer electronic cash at all. They've never had any interest in that. That wasn't what brought them in, and that wasn't what made it popular. And that's just the reality of it, right? Like, that's the old story of your favorite band selling out,
yep.
you know?
If you care about Pepe the Frog and Pepe Coin or whatever it's called, chances are good you don't care about cryptocurrency. You care about number go up and being a meme.
Children's safety was top of mind for Senator Michael Bennett from Colorado when he wrote last month to several AI companies asking about public experiments in which chatbots gave troubling advice to users posing as young people. He said there are very active conversations going on about the explosive good and bad that AI could do, said another senator in an interview. This, for Congress, is the ultimate challenge. Highly complex and technical, very significant stakes, and tremendous urgency.
Yeah, so just sit back and let the private sector deal with it, as the private sector does. Now, if you have artificial intelligence out there telling teens to drink bleach or whatever, eventually, something's going to be done, right? You don't need Congress to regulate this. Like, the artificial intelligence company will fix that on its own.
Right. What he's saying here is he's identifying, he calls it the ultimate challenge. No, what this is something you can't handle. This is something that is out of your area of expertise. Not that they have much of an area of expertise, because most of them are just lawyers. But this one is definitely out of their area of expertise, because they cannot possibly grasp the issues at hand. They can't understand Bitcoin, number one, and they sure as hell can't understand this. Tech leaders, including Elon Musk, recently called for a six-month moratorium. I don't think we discussed this on the air, but it was something I had in show prep, where they're calling for a moratorium on development of systems more powerful than GPT-4.
That's such BS. That's because Elon Musk wants his new AI company to have a chance to catch up.
To catch up.
That's all.
Yeah. That sounds right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of been his whole thing for a long time.
Wait, what's that?
Well, just sort of working the government and using it against itself in order to benefit himself.
Yeah.
So that basically gives you a summary of what's going on. They have this comment period or whatever. And then over in the European Union, according to a report at RT, the European Data Protection Board said recently that it will help member countries coordinate activities regarding ChatGPT that Italy has already banned. Over privacy violations.
Italy has banned ChatGPT?
Apparently so. Italy banned ChatGPT last month, according to RT, saying it allegedly violated EU privacy laws. Since then, Spain's data protection agency has opened a probe into
fun in the 20th century, guys.
into ChatGPT's maker, saying that development of artificial intelligence, quote, must be compatible with personal rights and freedoms.
I mean, it's almost sad to me that these people are so technophobic that they would rather continue persisting in the 20th century while the world and technology leaves them behind.
I mean, look at government. I mean, that's what they do. I mean, you can't, unless you're a lawyer. And you want to, if you want to file something in court, unless you're a lawyer, you have to go and physically drop it off or send it through the mail. You can't just fax it in. You can't just email it in. They have email, but the system
they have an electronic filing system as well.
Yes.
I know. I've seen my attorney use it.
Right. But the system is essentially, for the most of us, it is still in 1930. Right? It is at that level of technology.
What is
it? 1890.
So what do people do prior to that? Like, prior to the invention of the automobile, if someone in Keene needed to sue the governor, right? Like, did they have to take their horse all the way up to Concord?
I guess they could have hired the postal service because they existed
okay.
at that time,
yeah.
right?
Okay. But you can't do it by mail now, can you?
No, I don't think you can. No, you have to go there. You have to physically go to Concord. Maybe you had to do that
back
then,
too. So it may even be further back.
Yeah. Thursday, or recently, the French regulator CNIL said that it had also opened a case after receiving 5 complaints about the chatbot.
That's all? In the whole country of France,
right.
5 complaints?
One of them
came... Dude, I received 5 complaints today, and I'm not leading a country.
One of them came from Eric Bofferol, a member of parliament from the president's LREM party, who said the chatbot had, quote, invented details of his life, such as birth date and job history.
Okay, dude, you're a congressional official or whatever. You don't get to complain to the government. That complaint doesn't get to count
right?
as a complaint, right? Because you are the government complaining to the government. But first of all, like, you're also a public figure. At that point, you have no more right to privacy or anything. Like, people can say whatever they want to about you.
This is true. At least that's true in the United States. I don't know what the libel or
it should be
laws
true
are.
Over there.
Yeah. I don't know. I know that in Europe, and I think France was actually the country that led this, there is a law that says that if you don't like something someone said about you on the internet, I think you can have it deleted.
This sounds like Europe.
Yeah, so they don't have this.
Yeah, I think that regulation's relatively old.
That's been around for some years. Yeah, you're right about that.
Back there in the 20th century, before the invention of the Wayback Machine and the Internet. Oh, wait, those things did already. So how are they dealing with this? Like the Wayback Machine and the Internet Archive?
I don't know. Internet Archive is based in the United States, so they may not be cooperating with Europe on this, or they might be because they're not like the most libertarian group or anything like that. But I believe the terminology, if I recall correctly, was the quote unquote right to be forgotten.
Yeah.
Right? That's what they call it over there.
But if they're archiving a website from 1999, so you delete your Facebook page in 2016 or whatever, but they've archived Facebook from 1999, which Facebook didn't exist in 99, then they still have that data.
I would hope that they don't
archive, right?
I would hope that archive.org does not play ball with that particular
regulation. I would hope so.
But I know Google does in Europe.
Well, Google's evil.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, you know they're evil. They took out "Don't be evil"
from
their company policy. Like they had the policy specifically "Don't be evil," and then at some point they were like, "We should get rid of that." That tells you more than anything that they're just straight up evil.
The EU's GDPR data regulation. You remember when they passed that? It made it so all the websites make you click yes to accepting cookies now before they'll let you do anything.
How could I forget?
You still can't forget. They're still doing it. That's the GDPR law that requires online services to provide accurate personal information. In 2021, the bloc proposed stringent regulations regarding AI development. And last week, U.S. law scholar Jonathan Turley revealed the chatbot had invented a news article accusing him of sexual harassment of students during a trip to Alaska. No such article ever existed.
Now, that's curious. Are we sure that no such article ever existed? Because I'm not putting it past artificial intelligence to make things up. I'm like,
that's
why?
What they're known to do. They call it hallucination when AI just cooks up details that don't actually exist, which is why they say you should always check the claims that AI makes, because it may not be telling you the truth. It may not necessarily be intending to lie, that it's just, for whatever reason, quote-unquote, hallucinating. And again, they don't understand how this technology works.
Well, this makes me like artificial intelligence a lot more. I like the chaotic aspect of it.
Yes.
It could be just making this up.
Like, yeah.
So don't ask it how to cook meth or whatever, because it may give you the recipe from napalm or whatever.
Or that's a great point. Yeah, you have no idea what it's going to necessarily give you. And I'll give you just a simple example of this. Just yesterday, I was just inspired to ask. I don't spend a lot of time with AI usually, but sometimes I'll get it, I want to do a thing. And so I go and I ask it. And what inspired me was Tom Hanks. There was a story in the news about how he intends to license his likeness to be utilized by AI for movie production in the future.
Can I tell him something real quick?
After he dies.
It doesn't matter if you license it or not. Artificial intelligence is going to use your likeness.
For Hollywood, though, it will. For Hollywood, it
will. Okay,
because they're not
going to...
They're not going to cross that line of intellectual property.
That's the wrong way of looking at artificial intelligence. That's not the way this is going to go. It's not going to go with, Hollywood using artificial intelligence to make movies. It's going to go the spontaneous way of replacing streaming services and movie creation in the first place. That's why this writers' protest or whatever it is that's going on in Hollywood is so stupid, because they're protesting people using ChatGPT.
Is that what it's about?
Yes.
Really?
They're upset because people are using artificial intelligence to write scripts or whatever. Like, guys, you are just helping make yourselves obsolete, and it's not going to matter, right?
But that's the whole purpose of this.
Artificial intelligence is going to surpass the human ability to write scripts, whether you like it or not.
That's what the whole purpose of this is. That's what the whole purpose of this regulation on AI is with the intention to prevent AI from doing certain things, like writing movie scripts, so that people who are members of the movie script writing union can keep their jobs for another decade.
Right. They want to keep society top down. And artificial intelligence, more than anything else, artificial intelligence combined with cryptocurrency, that's it, guys. We got our bottom-up society right there.
I don't know if
there's
bottom
not even
up,
an up anymore at that
top.
Point. Well, I would say there's not even an up anymore at that point. Everything's equalized, or everything could be equalized. There's no more Writers Guild. There's no more Hollywood. If you want to make a movie, tell your artificial intelligence spontaneously generate this movie. That's the way this is going to go. That's the way this should go. For the benefit, for the glory of humanity, and for our continued existence, and our happiness, and our peace, and our solitude, have artificial intelligence go that direction.
I think I've been blocked by OpenAI's ChatGPT because I tried to do something with it yesterday, and it was giving me error messages. And normally, if you just kind of refresh the page, it'll solve that, but that wasn't solving it. Logging in, logging out didn't solve it, and I figured, well, maybe there's just something wrong. I'll try it today. Still not working. So what I did was I went on Google Bard, which is still working for me. And again, maybe they detected that I used a bunch of jailbreaks on ChatGPT, and that's why they've restricted me. But on Google Bard, I asked the question, because Tom Hanks was talking about he wants himself to be in movies in the future as an AI version of him, and it made me think, oh, okay, well, maybe AI will give us The Burbs 2, which is an old favorite Tom Hanks movie of mine, The Burbs. He plays this paranoid neighbor. And they've got, like, really weird neighbors that move in, and they start spying on the neighbors, and it's like, it gets really dark towards the end. It's basically like a dark comedy. And
I think I remember this, but there was, like, a Saturday afternoon movie that came on, like, once when I was
a
preteen or something.
I mean, it was never, like, I don't think it was a big hit or anything like that, but it's got Carrie Fisher from, you know, Star Wars fame. She plays his wife. And there's just, like, zany, wild kind of neighborhood spying kind of antics that go on. It was directed by Joe Dante, who, of course, also did Gremlins and Gremlins 2.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and so I said,
I love Gremlins 2, man. So that's the best movie ever.
I had Bard write a detailed pitch for a sequel to The Burbs, the 1989 comedy starring Tom Hanks and Carrie Fisher. The movie will be made using AI technology, so all the stars who have passed away, which is a lot of them, will still be able to appear in the sequel. And just as an example of how it just kind of gets some things wrong, and I'm going to skip most of most of what it gave me here, but it says Ray must team up with his old friends Art, and then in parentheses it says Carrie Fisher. Art was a male role in the original movie. Carrie Fisher was his wife. So it just got a basic fact wrong about The Burbs. It didn't misgender.
It misgendered Carrie Fisher.
It simply switched her role with somebody else's role. And then Lenny, in parentheses, John Candy. John Candy wasn't in the original Burbs, but maybe it's just simply casting him in the sequel. But just as one example of how it kind of, it'll make mistakes. And if you don't pay attention, or if you presume that it's giving you good information, you will turns out you're going to be wrong on something.
That makes
something.
Me really curious to know what, like, if you asked it to make a pitch for Gremlins 3. Because Gremlins 2 is already the craziest movie ever. Like, they made this movie specifically so that no one would ever ask them to make a Gremlins 3. Like, the director himself said exactly that.
Really?
Yeah. Like, they wanted to destroy the Gremlins franchise.
Hasn't there been talk about Gremlins 3?
There was a vegetable Muppet, man. They went nuts. I mean, there is, right? Because that's how they failed. And now it's been enough time to, like, we can make something wacky and crazy again, and it'll be Gremlins 3. But I don't think they're going to succeed.
Well, plus they're rebooting all kinds of old franchises and all that. Let's continue here in a moment. Of course, you can join us. The number is 603-283-6160. You've got the EU now talking, various different nations in the EU talking about regulating AI. Italy apparently just straight up banning access to ChatGPT. If you want to comment, you're welcome to join the show. 603-283-6160. This is Free Talk Live.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for Life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.